All right, take your Bibles out. We're in Genesis chapter 15. Sorry, Genesis chapter 18. And we're in verses 1 through 15 this morning. And I pray that the Lord will use this message in your hearts and lives in a wonderful, wonderful way. Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The God of wonder. The God of wonder. Our main lesson is this. Nothing is too hard for the God of wonder. We can trust Him. I came across Benjamin Franklin's epitaph. Have you ever heard Benjamin Franklin's epitaph? Let me share with some of you may have. Let me share with you who haven't. This morning, as you may know, Benjamin Franklin didn't profess to be a born-again Christian, but it seems he must have been influenced by the Apostle Paul's teaching in some way about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the epitaph. It goes like this. The body of Benjamin Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and binding, lies here, food for the worms. But the work shall not be wholly lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author, capital A. I like that. Pretty snazzy. Now, why could Benjamin Franklin be so sure of his resurrection in a more perfect edition, corrected and amended by the author? Well, you know the answer to that, don't you? You know the answer because some 2,000 plus years ago, God brought Jesus Christ forth from the grave that first Easter morning, right? Amen. Amen. But let me ask this question. Why could Jesus walk out of the grave that first Easter Sunday morning? Answer. Because some 2,000 plus years before the first Easter Sunday morning, God Almighty, the God of wonder, gave the ability to a barren 90-year-old woman and an old 100-year-old man to have the pleasure to make a baby. Think about that. Think about all of the little dominoes that God stacked before that one domino, the resurrection of Christ, that had to fall just at the right moment, at the right time, that Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead. And it started thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago before the resurrection. We most certainly do serve a God of wonder. A God of wonder. Nothing is too hard for Him to do. And so the question before us this morning is this. How will we respond to our God of wonder? Will we place the full measure of our trust in Him? Well, there's five things here, and I'm not sure if we'll get to all five today. And probably all God's people are saying amen. But we'll get through some of them. First, what we're going to see is God's visit. Secondly, we're going to see Abraham's response. Thirdly, we're going to hear God's voice. And then fourth, we're going to hear Sarah's response. And then fifthly, we're going to see God's validation. All right, so the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is that God visits His prophet, Abraham. Look at verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. It says this, "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him." Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we simply pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear the wonder of who you are. That you would ingrain in our minds and in our hearts the truth of your word, that you are a God, are the God, that is nothing too hard for you. And Lord, that we will be people of faith in response to this wonderful revelation of your glory and your grandeur and your beauty. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen and amen. All right, so from the get-go of chapter 18, we see that God is present once again with Abram. Abraham. The Bible says the Lord appeared in verse 1. Now look in your Bibles at how the word Lord
is spelled out. Is it spelled out with all uppercase letters? Is that the way it's spelled out in your Bible? Well, if it is, that's the way it's in the ESV. It's because they're referring to the proper name of the one true God, and that name goes unpronounced by the Hebrew people, and it simply means the existing one. Now, I don't know if you've kept count, but this marks the third visit that God gives to Abraham, the third visit with him. His presence is both twofold. One, to announce once again the fulfillment of a son, the fulfillment of the promise of a seed. And secondly, the destruction of Sodom, where Abraham's nephew Lot went to live when they went their two different ways. So those are the two things that chapter 18 is really all about. Now, there's three things I want you to notice about the visit that God makes to his prophet Abraham. First, I want you to notice the place of the visit. Notice the details here. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre. Now, this isn't the first time we've heard about the Oaks of Mamre. It goes all the way back to chapter 13 when Abraham first arrives in Canaan. This is where he goes. He sets his tents up, and he sets not just his tents up, but an altar to worship the Lord. And so he becomes the first monotheist in Canaan to worship and evangelize these pagan people. So it is a place of worship where God appears to Abraham once again. If you recall, it's the place that he returned to after he wandered down into Egypt land. He came all the way back to the Oaks of Mamre. And so now, after these long years of waiting, God appears to him again in this very place to tell him to prepare, because in a year from now, you will have laughter. And who is that? Isaac. You will have a son. So this is a sacred place. It's a place where God walked. It's a place where God spoke. It's a place where Abraham lived his life out. So what we see here is that we are to live our lives in places of worship. That where we're living can and must be a place where God would come and meet us. Not only just on Sunday morning, but on any day of the week. And it's the perfect place for God to visit Abraham. A place where Abraham would have worshiped the Lord on a regular basis. And I think that's a key here. Because when we come to church on Sunday mornings, it is to worship who? The music? The pastor? The building? No, it's a place to worship the Lord. It's a place where we meet with God and hear God speak. And that is the true meaning of worship. And so here in this perfect place where life goes on is a place of worship. Not only do we see the place of the visit, but I want you to notice the timing of the visit as well. Secondly, notice when the Lord visited. The Bible says, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Now, you probably know this, but it was customary in Abraham's day for people to go about doing their works in the mornings when the heat of the day is not so rampant and so hot, so that in the middle of the day, the middle part of the day, when it's hot, they would have a time of siesta. They would go to their tents to rest or go to a place where it's shade and rest so that they could be ready then to go back to work a little bit later on in the day. And so the morning chores were done. Both Abraham and his men and his animals were resting in the cool place there. Now, this is what I take from that. God knew exactly where Abraham was, and it was the perfect place for the visit. Why was it a perfect place for the visit? Because God, listen now, God would have Abraham's undivided attention. Is there a place in your life like that? Where God will have your undivided attention. So what we've looked at so far is the place of the visit. We've looked at the timing of the visit. And thirdly, what we're going to see is the way of the visit. Thirdly, it was just like any other day. Did you catch that? It was just like any other day when the Lord visited and Abraham was doing, just as he would be doing on any average day. Do you notice Abraham, it seems to me anyway, was caught by surprise at the visit? He wasn't expecting the visit. Abraham wasn't looking for Yahweh and two angels to come visit him. These three visitors just appeared out of the blue, if you will. And Abraham looks up and there they were. They were all standing before him. Verse 2 tells us. Now this is what I take from that. Listen, sometimes God shows up. There's no pomp. There's no circumstance. There's no celestial angels singing, "The king is coming." No grand entrance. God and two angels just appear as ordinary human beings in the ordinary part of Abraham's day at an ordinary time in Abraham's day. You see, God knows the perfect time, the perfect place to come and the perfect way to visit his people. Isn't it a wonder how God chose this unassuming means to visit Abraham in an unassuming way? In an unassuming place. Did you catch that as I read through this text? Doesn't it remind you of something else? Doesn't it remind you of another visit from the Creator that took place thousands of years later in the perfect place, a stable, in the perfect time? The Bible says, in the fullness of time, Christ came, and in the perfect way, via a virgin impregnated by the Holy Spirit. It was a wonderful visit from the Lord. That's what God's doing here in Abraham's life. He's not in a manger, but he appears in human form and just in the perfect place, the perfect time, in the perfect way. The God of wonder does wonderful things in his people's life. Are you ready for a visit if God were to visit you this day or tomorrow? If God has something to tell you, he'll visit with you, and it may just be in the ordinary place, at a time when you ordinarily go and are doing something, and ordinarily at it just at the right everyday ordinary time. Just the ordinary way. I guess what I'm telling you is, be careful. You never know when the God of all creation will pay you a visit. It'll be a wonderful thing, but it may just be in an ordinary way. Are you looking for him? Are you ready for him? So here's the lesson. You know it well. You've heard it before. Don't be too busy for God to come a-knocking. Don't be too busy. Someone once said, always have margin in your life so that you can spend time with the Lord. God just might visit you and tell you something wonderful that he's about to do in your life. So God visits his prophet, Abraham. Is the Lord welcome to interrupt our day? I'm reminded of a father who brought things home from work in this gotta do more world. His little girl asked, "Mom, why does Daddy bring all that stuff home every night?" Mom answered, "Well, honey, Daddy is so busy, he just can't get all his work done, so he brings it home." Then the little girl asked once again, "Why don't they put him in a slower class, Mom?" Have you ever felt that way? You're so busy that you just need to slow down and have some margin in your life so that you can be ready when God comes a-knocking. Do you have that kind of margin? Well, God visits his prophet Abraham. Now, the interesting thing now is, how does Abraham respond to the visit of the Lord? And that's what we're going to look at next. Point number two is this, that Abraham's hospitality in response to God's visit. Look at these verses with me. The second part of verse 2 and following says, "When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly. Now, I want you to just notice, Abraham's 100 years old, but three different times the Hebrew says quickly or quick. He's moving. He's moving out rapidly. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, three says of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they were there. You know, Abraham wasn't expecting the visit, but it seems to me he wanted to get this visit thing ready, this hospitality ready, before they disappeared. You know, that says something to me. It says that, you know, when God appears, we're on His terms. And we need to be as hospitable as possible when He comes. So Abraham offers this supernatural trio unequaled hospitality. He moved quickly to make them feel right at home. Without hesitation, Abraham ran to them from his tent to humbly greet them. That's what verse 2 tells us. Abraham quickly ran to Sarah to get her started on the meal, verse 6. Abraham also ran to pick out his best calf and have it quickly prepared, verse 7. So here's what we learn. We learn a biblical lesson from Abraham. Do not hesitate to be hospitable to guests. Why? Well, the Bible gives us this answer. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." So we see three ways that Abraham gave this wonderful and unequaled hospitality. First, we see the unequaled respect that he gives. Abraham gave his guests unequaled respect. He addressed them as Lord, which was a respectable, common way of greeting guests. He bowed low to the earth. Did you catch that? This is like the third time we've seen Abraham bow low. And every time he bows low, it's before whom? The Lord, the Almighty God. So he bows low to the earth before them. A great sign of respect. He calls himself their servant. He offered them water to cleanse with and a place to find quiet rest, a respectful thing to do, which we'll see is different when we get down to Lot, right, in Sodom and Gomorrah. He showed them unequaled respect. And I believe that's an important lesson that we all need to learn today, don't you? That we show people respect. Not only did he show them unequaled respect, but he showed them unequaled generosity. Once he gave them his respect, he then showed them this unequal generosity. Offering them a morsel of bread turns into three seahs of fine flour. Now, I didn't know what three seahs was, but it's 2 gallons of flour. Now, if I'm not mistaken, that can make a lot of bread, right, Alice? That can make a heaving lot of bread. Unequal generosity. Not only that, but in Abraham's day, meat wasn't regularly on the menu. But meat was back on the menu, boys, for this visit. Not only was it back on the menu, but he got a tender calf. A good one. Not an old one that was sort of starved to death. But says he got him a good calf. Had it roasted. Did it quickly. And that was only done for special guests on special occasions. He was very generous. And to top the meal off, they served curds and milk. This was a big deal from what I've studied. Curds and milk. I don't know, maybe it'd be like a big old coconut cream pie or cake in our day with whatever the favorite drink is of your day. You see, this was an unusual thing. This was an unusual show of generosity that Abraham gave to his three guests. But we also see one more thing that he does. He gives unequaled service. which all these things equaled unequaled hospitality. So last we see Abraham gave them unequaled service. Now, are you wondering how to treat your guests? It's laid out right here before you in Scripture. You give them unequaled respect. You treat them with unequaled generosity. And you follow it up with unequaled servanthood. And that's what we see here. Abraham truly was their servant. Did you catch that he didn't sit down with them to eat? Why did he not? Because he was their servant. And servants don't sit down to eat. They are up ready to do what? Take care of any need the guests have. Abraham was ready to serve. Pastor Hughes gives us a neat way of looking at this meal. He says, the meal with Abraham was an exercise of spiritual intimacy. What an honor to have the Lord over for a meal. A place of friendship, a place of intimacy, where we give Christ unequaled respect, unequaled generosity, and unequaled servanthood. Who knows? Maybe Jesus will come a knocking someday. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and that's a big if, isn't it, church family? Are we so busy sometimes? I know I am anyway, that if Jesus knocked, I wouldn't hear him. And he goes on to say, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. A place of intimacy and friendship. If only we'll take the time to be hospitable. The Bible tells us that Abraham was considered a friend of God. Did you know that? James chapter 2, verse 23. How are we when it comes to welcoming the Lord into our homes, welcoming into our days with unequaled hospitality? Would the Lord consider us to be his intimate friend? One person asked. Another person asked this question. Would we get a 5-star rating as Abraham did? You know, 5 stars is the best you can get. Would we get that kind of rating from the Lord? Well, anyway, Abraham's hospitality was the response to God visiting his prophet. Okay, is the Lord welcomed in your home? Sure he is, right? Listen to these two stories of hospitality. Tell me, don't tell me, but think which is your home. For many years, Dr. Francis Schaefer and his wife Edith ran a house of Christian hospitality and study in Switzerland called, and I can't pronounce that. They opened their hearts and homes to hundreds of people seeking biblical answers to life's challenges. In her book, What is a Family?, Edith Schaefer offers this counsel. She writes, every Christian home is meant to have a door that swings open. Did you hear it? Every Christian home is meant to have a door that swings open. All right, is that your home? Second story of hospitality. Now, it starts off strange, so just hang with me, okay? A man took his dog. See, I started off strange here. A man took his dog to the veterinarian and asked him to cut his tail off completely. I don't like to do that, said the vet. And why completely, the vet asked the man. Well, my mother-in-law is coming to visit us, and I don't want anything in the house to suggest that she is welcome. Which kind of hospitality do you have? If Abraham would have had a door instead of a flap for his tent, I truly believe his door would have always swung open. That's because he was a man who showed incredible hospitality, unequaled. Why should we be this way? Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. All right, next thing we see here is God's voice. God voices his plan for Sarah. And this is where I'm going to stop this morning. God voices his plans for Sarah. Nope. I'm not going any further. That's just to whet your appetite, okay? We're gonna hear God voices his plans for Sarah next week, and then we'll finish up this short little sermon and be done with these verses. But I've shared enough with you today to chew on. A couple of things I've shared with you already this morning is this, that God visits his prophet Abraham. And we saw that God picked the perfect place to visit, the perfect time, and the perfect way. And secondly, we saw Abraham's hospitality in response to God's visit, that he showed unequaled respect, unequaled generosity, and unequaled service to the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the God of wonder. We can trust him. Let me close with this illustration. It's titled, God Can Do Wonderful Things. Mackenzie wasn't trying to start a theological debate in her Sunday school class. She just wanted to make a point about Jesus' resurrection. Her Sunday school teacher had tried to encourage her class with the assurance that Jesus is everywhere. But that didn't sit well with Mackenzie. It just didn't sound right to her little ears. So she said, well, Sunday school teacher, I know one place where Jesus isn't. The teacher asked, well, where is that, Mackenzie? In her own little theological mind, she said, he's not in the grave. And he's not because we serve the God of wonders who can do wonderful things. Let me ask this one last question before we leave. It's a simple question, but it's something to think about. Do you know him? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that you give desperate sinners, such as we are, the grace and the mercy to know the God of wonders who does wonderful things. I pray, Lord God, for our church, that in those moments when you visit with us, and Lord, we can have that visit with you each and every day through the reading of your word. Because you appeared to Abraham as you visited him, and he heard your word. And Lord, when we have those times together with you, wherever it is, whatever we're doing, may we just simply stop, and that place become a place of worship, because we are in the presence of the God of all wonder. And Lord, as we meet with you, help us to respond to you with hospitality, that we would give to you the respect you deserve. That, Lord God, our lives would be an offering to you, a generous offering to you. And that, Lord, we would give to you unequaled service, not in order to be saved, not in order to gain righteousness, but because we are saved, because we have been made righteous in your sight through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm just one of these people that just think that you have a lot to tell us. And so we need to make our homes, our places of work, our cars, our relationships, places where you will come and be a part of us, and us a part of you. That we would worship you. Father, I pray today that if there is someone here that needs to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that today would be a day of salvation for them, whether it's in this sanctuary or those listening to us in their own home, that would be a place of salvation. I pray, Lord, Father God, for my many brothers and sisters who are with me today. Lord, Father God, that we would rededicate our lives to honoring you and to serving you. And that today would be a fresh start for that, Father. That no matter what's going on around us, you are in charge of that. You are over it. And the things that you have always asked us to do, you're still asking us to do. The people you have made us to be, and the people we are still to be, regardless of our circumstances. And Father, I praise you and thank you that you are a God of wonder and you do wonderful things and nothing is too hard for you. And the point of the matter is that what we're learning is that we can trust you. So Father, help us in those moments of unbelief, in those moments when our faith is being tested, in those crushing moments of doubt. Help us to remember what you have said about yourself, that you are the God who sees us, that you are the God who is almighty, and that nothing is too hard for you to do. In Jesus' name, amen.